Praise the Lord, everybody. All right, all right. Praise the Lord, everybody. The Bible says again, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I know you're praising the Lord like no other. God is an awesome God. Amen and amen. I want to thank the praise team again for blessing us one more time. Let's put our hands together for our praise team. Amen, amen. And our musicians. All right, all right. Thank God for our musicians for blessing us one more time with allowing us to just hear and know that God is good and the songs were amazing. I praise God today that you are able to worship Him and praise Him in spirit and truth. Right now, I want to just mention they're being passed out, social justice and the church. There is a Black Study Bible study guide for Black History Month that you're receiving for your edification, and it starts this evening. You'll be able to read through it. But again, it's entitled Social Justice and the Church. And we recognize that we are living in some trying times. And this is just some information to edify you and encourage you, inspire you as you read the Bible, the Word of God. And as you look at the backdrop of where we're living and what we're going through, you'll be reminded again that God is on the throne and that deep down in the Word of God, God is a God of justice. We know that. God is a God of mercy and compassion. God is a God of love. And so we want just to give that to you so that you might be edified and blessed as a result of going through this particular book, being able to see the goodness of God, the grace of God has smiled on His church. And yes, He has. God has blessed us and He smiled on us. And for this, we say thank you, Jesus, because of His amazing grace and because of His goodness and His kindness and His love and mercy. Now, I just ask that you would, again, share this with those in whom you come in. Did everyone get one? Did everyone get one? All right. Okay, she didn't get one at the door. There's one more there. There's some more here in the chair right there in front of you. Jaden, I'm sorry. There's a few more. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. Go ahead. Somebody, Musha, wouldn't mind helping us out. Did you get one? If you didn't get one, just raise your hand. I see a hand in the, all right, all right. Just raise your hand. Don't want anybody to be overlooked. Don't want anybody to be missed out. I want to thank Ricky for passing them out. He passed them out and didn't get one for himself. Amen. Amen. And it's good to see them back. You know, they were all the way over in the Philippines doing mission work. And I'm just glad to see that they made it back safely. In fact, a friend of mine, he was videotaping, and I saw them in the background. They looked well. They looked like they were having fun on the beach. And that was after ministry was done, obviously. And we're grateful for that. We're just glad that they made it back safely. And it looked amazing. They had a wonderful time, I know. And there's nothing like meeting brothers and sisters around the globe when it comes to the Advent Church, the Advent movement, to be able to see and reach out to those in whom need the gospel and then be able to partner with other churches and to be able to minister in a real way. Well, again, we're going to go ahead. I want to announce to you also, I believe after this service, there will be a wonderful meal. And you say, what kind of meal? I was told it's going to be haystacks today. Amen. I think that's an African-American diet. Amen. Amen. We have adopted haystacks. I like me some haystacks. I don't know about you, but I'll enjoy me some haystacks. Amen. But I'm glad that you are here, and we're glad to be in the presence of God today. And again, we celebrate the fact that we are in the midst of starting our Black History Month as February the 1st. This is the first day in the new year, and God has kept us. Again, I think about the fact that we have gone through January, 1 month down and counting, and it's because of the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God that we've been kept by God's grace. You could have been in an accident, could have been a car, could have been a plane, could have been a house. You know, an amazing thing is this. Unfortunately, you know, there were individuals, and I say this because I just think about how many times we think we're safe. There were individuals probably driving down that road in Philadelphia, or even maybe in their house, or maybe even in the store. Never could imagine that a plane would fall out the sky on top of you. I mean, you know, and that's why we always got to be mindful of the grace of God. Because it's not because I positioned myself a certain way or I got out of harm's way or I was special. No, it's because that angel and because God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and kindness Just smiled on me one more time. That's what I would say. Smiled on me one more time. God's grace smiled on me one more time. And that's the reason why I say we can celebrate today, because God's grace smiled on us one more time. And that's why we're here in the house of God today. And when I woke up this morning and I was able to take that next breath and I was able to walk away from my bed and able to get in my car and come to church, that's an amazing thing, because God smiled on us one more time. And so for that, we say thank you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, once again, you have favored us. You blessed us. And for the few moments we have together, we pray that now, after we've heard the songs, after you have given our sacrificial offerings and returned your tithe, after we've heard the songs, Lord, and prayed prayers, now we just want to get a perspective, a reality check from your word to let us know how we should order our steps in these times in which we're living. Lord, I pray that you would bless us in an understanding of your word, so that it'd be clear that this time when we lift up your word, it'll be something that will give us insight and understanding based on the backdrop of the time we're living. And we'll give you the glory and the honor. We thank you for just speaking to us. And more importantly, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our brother, your son, for dying on the cross to make life possible for us. For this we say thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We're going to turn to our Bibles to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And beginning with verse 1, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 5, talking about the anatomy of oppression today. And I'm not going to be long, but I'm going to talk about where we've come from and where we are and where we're going to go and how we're going to get there by the grace of God and God's mercy. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh asked the question, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." I want to speak on the subject, the anatomy of oppression. The unfortunate thing about this text is that God is speaking to a Pharaoh who refuses to let God's people go. And bigger than that is that God created you and me to be free. He never intended for us to live in bondage or under oppression. It was never God's desire for us to experience a moment where we could not go and come as we please. And I would dare say that anything that keeps you from living the life God has called you to live is your Pharaoh. Anything that blocks you from living in freedom, anything that keeps you from living a life of liberty and justice, a life that God has designed for you to live, is your Pharaoh. It may not be a Pharaoh in Egypt, but it may be a Pharaoh in your heart. It may be some type of proclivity or some type of hindrance that keeps you from living the life God wants you to live. And the bottom line is this: not only does it exist in our lives, but it exists in a community where we now find ourselves, where there are many things that laws are trying to take away from us so that we can live the life God wanted us to live. We are challenged. We're living in a time where we must understand that God is for us and not against us. And I can imagine when bad things happen, the first thing we want to ask is, where is God? And when good things happen, we pat ourselves on the back as though we accomplished something. But I would dare say God is always near. He is omnipresent and he's omnipotent and omniscient. God knows what we're going through and God cares. God understands your burdens. And more importantly, he understands your Pharaoh. And he's saying today, again, once again, re-echoing down through the time, I want my people to be free. Let them go that they may serve me. And by the way, we can never serve God completely when we're in bondage, held back from habits and desires that are not from Him. And that's why God says today, I want my people free. I want them free today. And I want to say today that as we look at the scripture and as we look at our message today, I want to just help us understand that all through history, it's been about freedom. It's always been somebody trying to hold somebody down. After Adam and Eve sinned, the moment they had sinned against God, the door was open for oppression. The door was open for slavery. The door was open for bondage, because whenever the devil is busy, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy and rob. But I'm so glad today that we have an understanding of God's word, what God's word says. Amen. The Bible says, by the way, as we take our journey today, the word of God says that the Bible says, woe unto them. Now I want us to look at this text. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievous which they have prescribed to turn aside the needy from judgment. The word of God makes it plain that he says, woe. There is a woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, that right and grievousness which they have prescribed to turn aside the needy from judgment, number one, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that the widows may be their prey and that they may be robbed of the fatherless. In other words, God is saying here in this prescription that it is unfortunate that when those who need something, it is taken away. And he says, woe unto them, because that is unfair and unjust. God, I want us to understand that even though we live in a messed up world, in a world where it seems like there is no fairness, I want to remind us today, based on our lesson this morning, that God is love. Amen. And that God is kindness, and God is mercy, and God is grace, and God is compassionate, and that in spite of what we see, we know God's intention for our lives. And so here it is. He says, woe unto you, unto them that decree unrighteous decrees. And that's what we live in. We live in a time where unrighteous decrees are being made and grievousness are being prescribed. In fact, notice it says unrighteousness. Decrees they have prescribed, turn aside the needy, take away the rights of the poor, and prey and rob on the less fortunate. And that's what was happening in the Bible, and that's what was happening in Egypt. That's what's happening during the time of the kings, and that's what was happening during the time of Christ on earth. There's always been some type of robbery taking away from those who are less fortunate, and that's why you understand that it is called the anatomy of oppression. What does it look like? What does it look like? Sometimes we say, well, if we had our own stuff, we could do better. And I declare, having your own stuff won't make a difference, because we live in a world of sin. In fact, people say, well, at one time, there were a group of people who decided when they were freed from slavery that they would go and they would build their own table. They say if they don't let you at the table, you build your own table. In fact, and that's what happened in America history, United States of America. There were a group of people, individuals darkened by nature's sun. They decided to come together and build something. And in building that in itself, that wasn't enough. In fact, it was burned down, started in 1908, founded and destroyed in 1921. These individuals had come together and decided that they were going to do something with their God-given rights. They were going to build something. And back there in Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they founded, imagine 600 businesses. This is in 1921, 1908, 600 businesses, 21 churches, 21 restaurants, 30 grocery stores, 2 movie theaters, 6 private airplanes, plus a hospital, a bank, post office, law offices, and even a bus system. This is what a group of people came together and decided to build for themselves, not looking for a handout, but looking for a hand up. And they decided that they would work together and that they would come together. And why is this important? It's important for us to remember that you were created in the image of God, and you have gifts and abilities and talents, and you can succeed. You can overcome. And there was a time way back then when people were making the best of the situation. And sometimes that's what you've got to do, is make the best of your situation. It's one thing to have a pity party. It's one thing to cry and complain. But they decided to pull themselves up by the grace of God to come together and build something. And I declare that's what we must decide to do as well. Amen. You got to make your mind up. You're going to push, and you're going to trust God, and you're going to pray and ask God to make a way out of no way. But it seems like no matter how many times you try to get up, it's always something trying to push you down. And even right now, they're trying to roll back certain laws. Even right now, we live in a world where things happen. And that's why this is real, my brothers and sisters. Black history is about reminding us, number one, where we come from, where we are, and where we need to go. And that's what we're here for today, to remind ourselves that, yes, it has not always been right. And just because you don't like it doesn't mean take books out of the school. Just because you don't like it means to rewrite history. What it means is, let's learn from history. What it means is, understand it happened, and we need to know what happened so that it won't happen again, because right before our very eyes is trying to come back. Whether you believe it or not, I'm not going to harp on that. This is not a political sermon. This is not about politics, but this is about real life. People's lives are being impacted. People's lives are being affected. People are living under brutality. People are living. And I know some of us are so cushioned. Some of us are so protected, and we may not feel it, but there are other individuals who are feeling it at another level. And all I can do for me and all I can do for you is, we ought to thank God for the blessings he has given us. We ought to thank God for the education he's given us. We ought to thank God for lifting us up as he has. We ought to praise God. But then we ought not forget about those who are less fortunate, those who are least and marginalized, those who are left out. We ought to remember that God brought us thus far, and we are not arrived unless all of us arrive. That's what they had in the first century. They said they had all things in common, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved, and there was nobody lacking. I believe, like Martin Luther King, we should believe, create a culture or create a community where everybody can eat at the table. You see, it's one thing to have a table, it's one thing to have a pie, but then it's another thing to have access. We live in a world right now. In fact, it was so difficult and so bad, brothers and sisters, that it became such an awesome thing that there was massacres here in America. And the question is, how and why did it happen? It's because of sin. It's because of the devil. We fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And it's amazing how we can rejoice over and we can be glad about a garden with different colors, but we can't rejoice about the different hues and colors of humanity. And it's all about injustice. It's all about God wanting us to understand that we are his children. And I'm going somewhere, but I've got to let us know this is the antithesis. This is where we are, and this is where we come from. This is what has happened in America. And it's not to watch anybody. It's not to make anybody feel guilty. It's not to make anybody feel bad. But it ought to make us, number one, celebrate for the mere fact that look at what we've come through, and we are still here. In spite of what the brokenness was designed to do, in other words, we weren't supposed to be here, but because of God's grace, we are still here. And what does that mean? That means that God's people have always had to push. And in fact, God says we have always, in fact, in other words, it's not going to go away unless there's somebody standing up for the right. It's not going to disappear. In other words, we are blessed right now because somebody made a sacrifice. We are blessed right now because somebody spilled some blood. We are blessed right now to sit in a church and be able to worship God in the beauty of holiness and our own conscience to come on the seventh day of the week, opposed to a day that's going to be designed for us to come together. But we ought to rejoice for the mere fact that God has given us freedom where we can worship him and we can bless his holy name. In spite of our situation, in spite of what we've come through, we are still here. Somebody had to fight. That's why in March 7, 1965, they marched over what was called the Pettus Blood in Selma, Alabama. And when they marched over that bridge, all they were saying is, can we get a piece of the pie? All they were saying is, can we get a little justice here? And they marched because all they wanted to do was vote. And that's the reality. That's where we were. All they wanted was to vote. Can you imagine that it wasn't until 1965 that it happened? Notice, they would call it Bloody Sunday, where people lost their lives and people were beaten. Dogs were sick on them. In fact, and notice here, they were beaten. And you say, well, why are we bringing this up? It's because for us to be here, it's because somebody made a sacrifice. And I want us to remember that as young people, even as we're here because somebody paved the way. Somebody opened the door. Somebody made it possible. Somebody said, I'm going to think about my children's children's children. And that's why we are here right now. And the fact is, it wasn't about being better than somebody. It was about saying that we are just like anybody else. Had to walk around with a sign, I am a man. Why I have to say that? I'm a woman. I look at you and see you a man. I look at you, you are a woman, and you're beautiful in the sight of God. And that's what this was all about. In fact, Black History Month is a reminder of where we've come from, where we are, but then also where we're going. And I'm glad about it. In other words, God has something for all of his children, all of his people. And they marched, and they marched, and they marched. And they push. In other words, it would not have gone away. And they say, well, why do you do all of this? Why do you got to talk about it? Because if you don't talk about it, if you don't push, that's like the devil. If you don't push, the devil will take over your life. If you don't pray, the devil will take over your life. In other words, this injustice, this hell that we live in is pervasive. Is it better? Yes, it's better. Yes, it's better that I can go to the front of the bus. Yes, it's better that I don't have to go to the back. Yes, it's better that I don't have to go behind the building and order my food. Yes, it's better that I can drive through the same drive-through at McDonald's that anybody else can drive through. Yes, it's better that we can worship together as black people and as white people and as brown people. Yes, it is better, but the reality is it was not always this way. And sometimes we assume that it's always been like this. No, it has not been. But the praise God that we're moving forward and we're going to get better. In other words, our whole goal and our whole mindset should be is what is God's will for our lives? Well, what is it? In other words, notice they voted and it wasn't until 1965, this act passed by Lyndon Johnson, that they had the right to vote. And having the right to vote brought about power. It brought about now some type of voice, some type of being able to have come to the table. Why did we have to push? It's because of the civil rights movement. Notice here, it was because of the civil rights movement in 1965. The civil rights movement was a struggle for justice that took place mainly during the 50s and 60s. For black Americans to gain what? Equal rights under the law in the United States. That's all it was. Asking for parity or asking for laws to be changed so that a group of people that had been marginalized can come to the table. And not only that, that door opened up for everybody. And now the problem is that we got a concern about that. Now watch this. The Civil War officially abolished slavery. But it didn't end discrimination against black people. They continued to endure the devastating effects of racism, especially in the South. By the mid-20th century, black Americans, along with many other Americans, mobilized and began an unprecedented fight for equality that spanned for two decades, even to now. Fighting. Fighting for what? Fighting for what? Fighting for freedom and justice. And let me tell you the whole goal. The reason this is an issue is because of really this thing called economic anxiety. We live in a time where it's called economic anxiety. And notice the two challenges that we face. The fear of not having enough or someone taking your stuff. The mindset. And with that mindset, now it has turned and pivot against a group of people, and we call them immigrants. And I heard someone say, we all immigrants. We weren't born here. I mean, even though you were born here, this is not your native land. Somebody brought you here, and in fact, you came here, and they tell me the Indians were here first. Somebody said, well, the Indians should have learned a lesson. They said, yes, the lesson that they learned was we were too compassionate. We opened up the door, and what happened was they took stuff to the point where we had nothing. And that's the reality. And I know we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it even in the church. We don't even want to hear about it. But the reality is love will always triumph. See, that's the reality. Love is going to triumph. After it's all said and done, when God has the last say, we all are going to be on the same platform. We're all going to be on the same level, and that's what we have to fight through. That's what we're going through, and all I want to say to you, keep hope alive. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting God. In the midst of it, all that we see in the nation, all the politics that you're going to see, and we're just 1 month in. Think about it. We just 1 month in, and it's going to be a whole lot of stuff that you're going to have to prepare yourself for, and by your mindset, be ready to understand that we've always had to have a pushback. If all the good people go away, what happens? The evil people take over. And that's the reality. In other words, immigration. This is what they're saying. Immigration, they're taking our jobs. The mindset to put fear in the hearts of people. Well, I mean, think about it. Immigration, and we are against illegal people coming in illegally, but the fact is people come here because it is a place where they believe they can do better. And anytime you can create space for somebody to do better, you ought to legally let them do better, not just open up the door, but if you go through a process, if I can help somebody, then my living has not been in vain. We're all God's children. However, to begin to marginalize somebody and to begin to say certain people are doing certain things in order to rid them out of your country is not fair, because I don't want to say it, but... I don't want to get too political, but some folk are married to some immigrants. In other words, then DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. That's another thing that you're hearing about. Either they're taking your jobs or they're not qualified for the job. Now anything to minimize the reality of God's people having enough to come to the table. That's what you're hearing right now, DEI. I mean, DEI was responsible for the plane crash. DEI is responsible for this and that. DEI. In other words, we're living in a time where we're going to be challenged. And in our challenge, we're going to have to understand, how did we get here? How did it happen? There has to be a mindset. And the mindset is this. How did we get here? In other words, there has to be a mindset. When I begin to think I can push you down to better my situation, I got to have a mindset to do that. And what is that mindset? Number one, some people have more value than others. That's a mindset. And the reality is, we're not better than each other. It's God's grace. Just because you live in a certain neighborhood, and just because you make a certain amount of money, and just because you drive a certain kind of car, and just because you have a certain amount of background, the fact is we all are God's children. If you cut me, I'll bleed. We all are made in the image of God. We're all made by God and for God, and without God, we'll never be happy. And so some people are more invaluable than others is hogwash, but that's how some people think. That's the reality. And then there's not enough resources for everyone. In other words, if I give you this, then I won't have enough for myself. And if I bless you, but there's more than enough for everybody. And that's why it is an inclusive thing when it comes to God. And then thirdly, I'm not responsible for anybody but myself. Capitalism will make us believe that I don't have to think about my brother or my sister. I don't have to think about my neighbor. But I've stopped by here to tell you, we are responsible for one another. And whenever you live in a community, you can't be happy if somebody else is down. You can't rejoice if somebody else is suffering. In other words, God wants us to have love in our hearts. And he said, when you've done it unto the least of my brothers and sisters, you've done it unto me. I've got to learn how to love like Jesus loved. I've got to learn how to go out of my way and bless somebody like Jesus did. And that's what the goal is. In other words, the antithesis is some people have more value. There's not enough. I'm not responsible. But notice how Jesus, in the eyes of Jesus, all people are created equal in the image of God. I want to celebrate that. That's the reality. When you put your clothes, you put your pants leg on just like me. You put your shoes on just like me. You've got to breathe the same air just like me. You might not drink the same water. You might drink bottled water, and I might drink tap water, but it's still water. You might do this or that, but the reality is we all are made in the image of God. And I've got to remind my children's children's children that we are created in the image of God. It was God who scooped up some clay. It was God that breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. It was God that made black man, white man, brown. It was God that made us in his image. In other words, God created equal us in the image of God. We got to remember that. And then I love when he says, not only that, not only did I create you, but he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He said, the silver and the gold is mine. And if I was hungry, I would never have told you. Which means is God said, I've got enough for everybody. You can call on him and he will answer. Whatever your needs are, God can bless you right now. There's no scarcity with God. There's no lack with God. There is no shortage with God. All you've got to do is call on him in the name of Jesus and seek first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness will be added. Whatever you need, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He says, take my yoke, for it is easy. Learn of me. All you got to do is hook up with God. And you understand this. God says, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out you blessings that there'll be no room to receive them. You got to believe God's word today. God's word is real. And then not only that, he says, we are our brother's keeper. I ought to be concerned about you. You ought to be concerned about me. In fact, Jesus, he says that when you've done it to the least, you've done it to me. And the pen of inspiration says it this way. When we learn to love lost people the way he loved them, then he says, my work in you is complete. I may not be able to help you. I may not be able to bless you. I may not be able to give you a dollar or 10, five, but I ought to feel something when I see you down and out. Something ought to rise up in my heart and say something is not right. I ought not feel comfortable when I know that somebody tonight is going to go to bed hungry, when I know we're living in the richest country in the world. I ought not feel good about knowing that somebody doesn't have enough. It ought to bother me to movement. And that's why we got to push, my brothers and sisters. That's why we got to push. And the reality is this, and I'm almost finished. The reality is this. The oppressor will never change a system in which they benefit greater than the oppressed. They'll never change it. In other words, why would I give you this when I'm benefiting so much with it like it is? And the reality is this, as Christians, we're not trying to say we're going to put our head in the sand and look away. We're not trying to say there's pie in the sky. But the reality is this. What we want to say is we need to turn our attention to understanding God's thoughts. What does God say? And when I look in God's word and look in God's word, notice what it says here in Acts chapter 10. This is where we get an understanding. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet. You know the context. You know the story. And he worshiped him. But Peter took him up saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. I'm a man. Don't worship me. I'm a man. And notice what he says here. And as he talked with him, he went. And a company or found many that were in together. He went in other words, he went and he said unto them, You know. Now watch this text here. This is real. He says, you know that it is unlawful thing for man that is a Jew. So this is as old as the Bible. It's unlawful for a Jew to keep company or come unto one another nation. Sin brought about separation, not God. And this separation is Bible. In other words, in the Bible. And Jews had a problem with Gentiles. And Gentiles had a problem with Jews. But what is God's answer? And notice how God, but there's a conjunction. But God has shewed me. God has showed me. God gave Paul gave Peter a revelation of his own feelings and his own thoughts. He says, now, if you want to know the truth, this is how I feel about it. And God had to actually process Peter by letting down a net with all type of a sheep, with all type of animals on it, and Peter was told to rise up and eat. And Peter said, wait a minute, Lord, I've never eaten no pork chops. I don't eat shrimp, Lord. I don't eat fat back, Lord. He said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter, in that vision, I don't know about you, but I remember in my Christian experience early on, somebody tried to show this text to me to prove that it was all right to eat pork. Or it was all right to eat, you know, something that God said is unclean in the Bible. And you can read it in Acts chapter 10, but the story is here. God says, and he showed him, show me that I should not call any man common or unclean. In other words, God gave Peter a revelation of God's feelings about humanity. In other words, God says, I made everybody. I created everybody. Therefore, you ought not discriminate against anybody. And so what is this movement? What is this historical thing about? Where we come from, let's acknowledge where we are, but then we ought to celebrate the fact where we need to go. We need to walk arm in arm with our brothers and understand that we're not against one another, but we're here to be for one another. And understanding that in the Bible, he says, God has shown me, God has revealed to me, God has given me understanding and revelation that I should not call any man common or unclean, which means, according to the declaration, that's what we felt. Notice what it says here. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men, this is what was in the declaration. All men. How many? Everybody? All men. Everybody. All men and women are created in that they are created equal, that they are endowed with their creator with unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is for everybody. Again, it's not just for black folk or white folk. This is for everybody. God's ideal for his people is that all lives matter. Yes, we celebrate the fact that black lives matter. Yes, we celebrate the fact that God's given us his declaration and his word. And we know that true and very true, that it is a matter of reality that all lives matter. Yes, black lives matter. And that's why we had to push. But the reality is all lives matter and we are equal. That's what we're saying. In other words, it's not about trying to rise above somebody. It's about reaching down and bringing people up so that we all can march together in harmony and walk together as God's children. That's the reality. This is not a mindset of being rebellious. This is not a mindset of being of insurrection or trying to undo. No, it is a mindset that you are my brother and I'm your brother and we're equal and let's walk hand in hand. That's what this is all about, because the truth of the matter is we all have a voice. And notice what the Bible says. Notice what the Bible says. I'm almost finished. I have come that you might have life. And what kind of life? Abundant life. It's God's desire that we have an abundant life. All mankind, I wish that for you. I wish you happiness. I wish you peace. I wish you comfort. I wish you joy. I wish you life, pursuit. And that's what God wants for all of us. And the reality is, Jesus said it this way, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And if you want to talk about, people say, well, you're talking about this social justice and you're talking about this social justice. Well, according to the Bible, this is social justice right here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? In other words, when the Spirit of the Lord is on you, it opens your mind up to be inclusive about others. Let me read the text. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. In other words, it takes an anointing from God to be able to help somebody else, because the stuff we're born with, we're selfish, we're greedy, we look into ourselves. It's me, myself, and I, and it's all about me. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, and when you are anointed by the grace of God to preach the gospel to the poor, in other words, that's what Jesus stood up, and when he said this, is after he finished, they wanted to throw him off a cliff. They wanted to throw him out the church. They didn't want to hear that because it didn't go along with their message. But Jesus said it boldly. God's Spirit is on me. And because God's Spirit is upon me, I've been anointed to preach the gospel to who? The poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In other words, I have come to help those who are downtrodden. And that's why when that bishop stood up and said in that moment, when that president was in that 47, in that church service, all she said was, have mercy on them. All she said was, be considerate and be kind. That's the gospel. Be kind to them. Don't you want somebody to be kind to your sister? Don't you want somebody to be kind to your mother? Don't you want somebody to be kind to your brother? Don't you want somebody to be kind to you? That's all she said. Remember to be nice to them. And that created a stir. But as I close, when the last message is given, when the last word is said, Christ's going to say it for himself. In fact, this is what John saw. He shows this. This is what he's going to show. That's why I said I had to tell you where we come from, where we are, and where we're going. So we're not going to pause and waddle in how bad it has been. We're not bringing this up to whitewash it in somebody's face, say, look what you did. No, no, no. This is not to make anybody feel guilty. But this is what God's grace has done. God's grace was able to take a negative and make a positive in spite of coming from Africa, going through slavery, going through Jim Crow and everything else. God says, I still have a design and goal for humanity. And this is what it says. And I, John, saw flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Now notice, to every nation, not just a certain group, every nation, every kindred, and every tongue and people. In other words, God's message is inclusive. There's enough room at the table for everybody. There's enough room for everybody to sit together, to walk together, to march together. There's enough room for everybody. In fact, there's enough to the point where he says, I want every nation, I want every kindred, I want every tongue and people to hear the good news that I am coming back. Say with a loud voice, fear God and give God the glory. When it's all said and done, when everything is finished, I don't care who you are, black man, white man, green man, purple man, red man. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He will have the last say. I know we've gone through hell and high water. I know we've gone through some turbulent times. But Jesus says, I'm the captain of the ship. I'm going to get us through it. And no matter what you've gone through and no matter what you might experience, God says, fear God and give him the glory. Why? For the hour of judgment has come. I'm going to have the last say. I'm going to straighten out every wrong. I'm going to balance the book. And whatever's done to you, I'm going to fix it. Amen. I'm going to restore what the locusts have eaten. That's what God says today. So if you feel like you can't make it, if you feel like throwing in a towel, don't give up yet. If you're going to see some stuff that's going to happen, that's going to blow your mind, because Jesus said, I want you to know that we're living in the last days and some stuff going to happen, and it has to happen. Revelation 13, the end of it has to happen. There has to be this. It's got to happen. But you know what? John said, I saw somebody standing on the sea of glass. I saw somebody with the robe of righteousness on. He said, I saw a number that no man could number. He said, it was so many of them, I stopped counting. I was 1, 2, 3, 4. 10,000 million. I said to stop counting. In other words, there's going to be somebody that's going to overcome. There's going to be somebody that's going to be there. And we might as well make up our minds that I'm going to see Jesus for myself. And in spite of the hell I've gone through, in spite of the Pharaoh that tried to hold me back, in spite of the trauma that's in my life, in spite of the drama I've gone through, I'm going to see him for myself. And when I see him, I'm going to say, lo, this is my God. I've waited for him. Other words, trust in God. Hold on. Keep your eyes stayed on him that he might keep you in perfect peace. It has not always been nice, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to get a whole lot better. Jesus will come and he will not tarry. In other words, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust God. The Bible says the path of the righteousness shines more and more unto that perfect day. In other words, keep on taking a step. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on looking up because your redemption draweth nigh. In other words, brothers and sisters, I know what has happened. I know where we are, but I know where I'm going. Trouble won't last always. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy gonna come in the morning. Darkness has come over the earth, and it seems like it's not gonna get better. It's gonna get better because Jesus is gonna fix it. He gonna come through, and he gonna fix it. And when Jesus fix it, we know what they're gonna say? Free at last. And not only he gonna say free at last, but together we stand. Holding hand in hand, black man, brown man, white man. Why? Because when the love of God comes in your heart, it constrains you. When the love of God comes into your heart, you can love anybody. When the love of God comes into your heart, you can love everybody. And it doesn't matter what the color of their skin is, but God wants us to love one another. He wants us to trust in him, keep our eyes stayed on him, keep walking by faith, and he that shall come will come. I don't know about you, my mind made up. I know we're going to go through some hell. People say, well, why are we where we are? God let it happen. God sets them up, and God can pull them down. And what we've got to do is pray for our government and pray that God will keep us in the midst of it. I can't even imagine what happened in how they were living under the Roman dominance. When Jesus intentionally came during the time of Rome, the people were under so much oppression, it was unbelievable. But you know what Jesus said? This kingdom is not mine. if it was mine, I would fight. I would fight like double H, double E. I would fight. But this kingdom is not my home. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I've come here to die on the cross. But while I'm dying on the cross, I want you to understand I've come to bring liberation. And I'm going to let you know that I'm coming back. And it won't be right until Jesus come. It won't be right until Jesus come. But in our little corner of the world, let our light shine. In our little color of the world, let's stand together. In our little color of the world, let's show justice. Jesus said, I've shown you. In the word of God, Michael said, what? Didn't the Lord show you? Do justly, love mercy, and just walk humbly with your God. That's what we want to do today. I don't know who you are, but your mind made up to walk with God. I want you to stand with me if you want to just keep on trusting. You understand that oppression. Jesus said, all live godly going to suffer persecution. You're going to go through some hell. Yep, yep. We're going to go through some stuff. Some drama and trauma, but the Bible says, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. You're watching online. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. I'm praying that God will give you the strength to make it. I know, again, for this not to be a political sermon, political message, I'm just talking about the truth. And the truth of the matter is, oppression started way back when Adam and Eve ate that fruit. And trouble has attended humanity ever since. It comes in different forms, but the fact is, Jesus said, I've come to set you free. Today, there may be an individual today who want to say, Lord, I'm not free yet, but I haven't given my life to you. I haven't walked in your grace. I saw your hand, Nyla, and praise God, and last time, is there anybody else who need Bible studies? I want to say, I need to walk with the Lord. I need Jesus as my Savior. It's not going to get better on this planet, but Jesus will make it better for us. Any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. Old things are passed away. And I thank you, God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, we're going to see a lot. I know we are 1 month in, but Lord, you're going to give us the grace we need as we see the handwriting on the wall and as we hear more things taking place. I pray that you'll just give us the strength to keep our eyes stayed on you. Lord, I pray for those who are standing right now. As our faces differ, so do our needs. And Lord, we got some needs. We need you, God. We need a revival. We need a refreshing. We need you to anoint us like you did your son Jesus when he said, I've been anointed to preach this gospel, to minister to the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are held in captivity, those who are bruised. Lord, we need your anointing so that we can make an impact in this community and even in our homes and in our world. More importantly, we pray that we will stay faithful to Jesus Christ, who loved us so much that he died on the cross, nailed there and stayed there because he loved us so much. For every person that's standing, Father, may you cover them with your grace and may you continue to fill them with your love. And we'll give you the grace, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor for what you've done for us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.